James Hahn II.
And I'm Mark LaCour.
And you're listening to This Week in Oil and Gas. This is the show for busy oil pros who want to quickly keep their finger on the pulse of the industry. Welcome in for episode 10, Mr. LaCour.
Man, awesome. We've hit double digits. Who would have ever believed?
Yeah, I would have never believed. And also, the amount of downloads we're getting on a weekly basis is staggering.
Yeah, what's the deal with people listening to us?
I have no idea. But whatever they're drinking, I want one.
Yeah, me too. I want a double.
All right, so cool, folks. I'm from a company called Tribe Rocket. We are next generation brand architects for next generation oil field leaders. And you, Mark?
We're from a company called Modalpoint.com. We do key market research in the oil and gas industry.
All right, perfect. And we've got a lot of research done today. Noticed a trend while I was pulling up the articles. So this is going to be more kind of a Q1 roundup. But let's start internationally. Oil and gas in Africa. When will Uganda ever produce and export its oil?
Yeah, there's a backstory here. So Uganda is one of the first African nations to discover it had recoverable oil reserves, which you'd think was great. They still have not started production. And the bottom line is, there's a bunch of bad politics going on in that country, and that is constraining the investment needed to get production going. So you got some big players out there looking to try to help this country out and make some money and help the people out. But until they change some of the laws over there, nobody's going to invest money because it's just too big a risk.
So who are some of these players?
So you have CNOOC, which is China's national oil company. You have UK's Tullow Oil. You have Total, which is from France. I mean, these are some heavy hitters out there ready to go in and create jobs and wealth for this country. But the politicians over there need to basically get their ducks in a row to make this work.
Is it a typical corruption story, or what is it?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And it's a corruption story, and then the other part of it is you literally have people that have their own private interests and that aren't really worried about helping the whole country out. And these people have political power. It's just a horrible, horrible thing. The government is finally, when I say finally, like I think this month, starting to open up blocks for licensing, right? They've had, Yeah, it's crazy. And it's, all this time people could have been working, the economy could have been stimulated. They would have built schools and roads and brought infrastructure, and it's just it needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking on the same topic of export, we got EIA projections indicate U.S. becoming a net exporter of natural gas.
Yeah, wonderful story. We've talked about this quite a few times on the show. Basically, because of our frackers, we have a boatload of natural gas in this country. We have way more we can ever use. Quick statistic, if we find no more reserves, and if we export natural gas, and if we keep currently using the natural gas at the rate that we have 300 years of natural gas in reserves. And that's not us finding any more, right? And so what's happening is the U.S. is looking to export gas. Exporting gas is a bit of a struggle because you can't move it in a pipeline. You can't put it in a super tanker. So you have to compress it to a liquid. And there's a bunch of technologies out there. There's compressed natural gas, liquefied natural gas, gas to liquids. But regardless of the technology, companies are investing lots of money into doing this so you can then take this liquefied gas and ship it around the world. And the nice thing about natural gas, it's automatically 50% cleaner than coal, which is what most of the world's burning right now. So we're actually helping the environment besides helping the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, and so for any people who are new to the industry that might check out this article, can you please explain a TCF?
Trillion cubic feet.
Okay, what does that mean, though? Trillion is a hard number to wrap your head around, right?
a trillion. I mean, literally, it's. I don't want to do the math, but a trillion cubic feet is a common unit of measurement when you're talking about gas, and that's a lot of gas. That's more than most cities will use in a year. Right, and we have hundreds of thousands of trillion cubic feet of natural gas.
Yeah, so 2040 natural gas exports by pipeline will range from 1.1 TCF in the high oil price case to 2.9 TCF in the high oil and gas resource case. Why that distinction?
It has to do with what's the financial motive for you to switch fuel sources. So this is happening right now in the U.S. Most of the electrical generating plants in the U.S. either burn coal or fuel oil. Well, natural gas is so cheap that they're making the switch, which is automatically, like we talk about, helping the environment. But if the price of crude oil stays low, there's less of a financial motive to switch to natural gas.
Got it. Well, let's transition over into the earnings update, because we'll start with BP.
Yeah, BP is in an okay place. They're not in a great place. Okay place. Like a lot of the super majors, what's saving BP right now is their downstream activities. We've talked about on previous shows how downstream's on a roar right now. So basically, what used to be BP's least profitable part of their business has now saved their butt. So their refineries have contributed to their financial earnings for this first quarter of this year. And everybody's going through that right now. And it's actually, for me, for being in this industry so long, for years, refineries were not really looked at as a good profit margin. They were long-term, low-margin investments. So now all of a sudden, refineries are making everybody lots of money, which is good.
So this is interesting. If there's a slide deck that comes in here. And so they've got four divisions, crude oil and NGLs, midstream trading, gas and power marketing, refined petroleum products, and natural gas. Is it the downstream that's saving them?
Right. The downstream is what's really doing well. So that's their refined petroleum products. And then also their midstream section, which they actually call midstream trading and gas, is doing okay as well. Their upstream side, they took a huge hit. I mean, I think their revenue fell 86% year over year on their upstream side of the house, as opposed to their downstream side of the house, which actually grew, I think, by 40-something percent. So, upstream is hurting, as we all know. Midstream and downstream is doing just fine.
Yeah, actually, to pull out one statistic to back that up, BP's downstream earnings increased by more than 77% during the first quarter. That's a nice uptick.
Yeah, 77%. Who out there would not want to increase their business 77% in one quarter?
I'll take it. All right, Total Q1 2015 results. What's Total been up to?
So Total's actually
Total for our American listeners.
It's not Total. Don't do that.
I know, but I come from Michigan, and so I got here and I was like, Total? Okay, all right, I get it.
Yeah. So the first quarter, of course, is being marked by much lower oil prices. Total actually did pretty good, and it didn't affect their upstream as much as it did the other super majors. It still hit them. The situation in Yemen's hurt their first quarter. It's basically shut down their production out there. And so upstream did okay. They did about $1.4 billion this first quarter as compared to $1.6 fourth quarter last year. And that's about a 15-cent decrease, which we just talked about. BP had an 86% decrease. So, they've missed that bullet. And they actually did this. Part of it was luck. They just had things luck out for them politically, globally. But part of it's also smart. I think Total saw this drop coming quicker than anybody for the super majors, and they adjusted their portfolio to compensate for it.
Acquisitions were $2.5 billion. So
yeah, acquisitions. We're in the beginning of this huge next 18 months. Could be a huge mergers and acquisitions in the industry as a whole.
Yeah. So, all right, and so that we can pick on you with your pronunciation, Yemen. You got nothing for me, Mark? You're not gonna fire back?
I don't know what to say to that. I work on my Middle Eastern country pronunciation.
All right, we're having a good time on this show here. All right, EQT Midstream Partners still forecasts high distribution growth despite uncertain energy prices.
Yeah, well, of course, they're a pipeline company, right? They so they don't care what they don't say this in their earnings report, but the truth is they don't care what the cost of crude is. They charge the same to move it, whether it's $1 a barrel, $100 a barrel. And the really cool thing about EQT is they were first to jump in the Marcellus. And so they have a bunch of pipelines and a bunch of storage in Marcellus, and it's doing really well. Storage right now, and this is the very end of April 2015, storage has disappeared. There is no more place to store any crude or natural gas in this country right now, but people have to pay for that. And so companies like EQT just benefit from that.
Yeah, so and it talks through some of their partnerships. What are they working on?
Well, there's a ton of partnerships, and the partnerships are done mostly to help spread risk. So you're getting partnerships with like NextEra and WGLs, and these are just other pipeline companies that they'll share transport as joint venture partners. Within this low natural gas environment, everybody's trying to store it, knowing that pretty soon the facilities will be built to start exporting, which we talked about earlier. And at that point, you pull your gas out of storage because you're getting a higher dollar for it.
So when it says the quarterly distribution increased 60 cents per unit, up 5%, how does that play in? Because you said they charge the same no matter what the price. So what are they talking about there?
So they actually grew their business 5%. Now, 5% seems like a very low number because we were just talking about 80-something percent and 70%. But 5% is good, steady growth. You know, if you do 5% per quarter, that's 20% per year. That's good growth.
Right, right. Yeah, and everything is, of course, multiplied in this industry because when 5%, you do 5% of 100 is a lot different than 5% of a billion.
Yep.
And so Martin Midstream Partners in on Q1 2015 results.
Yep, another midstream company, another pipeline company, they're doing really well. Their cash flow, the EBITDA, all their financial measures are really strong. I actually, please nobody take our stock investing advice, but I actually invested a little bit in this company about 6 months ago, and they're doing really well. Their first quarter performance is much better than they did last year, at year over year. And then their crude throughput at Corpus Christi, which is their main terminal, is up 3%. That means they've increased operational efficiency at one of their terminals because that's the only way you can increase throughput. So you know they're going down the right road. And like I said, I think they're doing really well.
What are the kinds of things that these guys do to increase operational efficiency?
It's part of it's people and part of it's parts, right? So you get better pumps, you get better valves, you get better systems that monitor everything. But part of it's also people. You have operators, and I have several friends of mine that are operators for several midstream companies that sit in front in control rooms and watch everything that's going on. And it's part science and it's part magic. You know, they know from experience that when they tweak this setting, they can actually flow, say, more crude oil. Or if the crude has a different weight, they know to ship it in a different pipeline with different levels of pumps. And it's you know, like I said, it's a mixture of parts and people.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks like they do some marine work, too. It says marine transportation.
Yeah, so think supertanker. So, you know, when we talk midstream on this show, a lot of time people just automatically think pipeline, which is part of midstream, but midstream is also tankers, right? That's the way a lot of the crude gets moved around the world, and it's the way a lot of refined products get moved around as well. You know, we'll take someone like Exxon. A lot of people don't know this, but Exxon's super tanker division is called Sea River Marine. Doesn't have Exxon in the name, but that's their super tanker division.
Got it. All right. So how about Enterprise Products Partners CEO Mike Creel on Q1 2015 results?
Yeah, EPP. I've known them for a long time. Another good, solid midstream company that's in acquisition mode right now. So their first quarter was great, like most midstream companies right now. They have very high utilization rates, and in a pipeline company, it's sort of like commercial aviation. You want the aircraft to be used as much as possible. Pipeline companies, they want utilization to be as high as possible. People basically rent the ability to move their products from one place to another. So their utilization rate actually increased by, I think, 8%.
8%. It says, yeah, to a record 1.7 million barrels per day.
Yeah, think about that. They're moving 1.7 million barrels a day. That's crazy. A crazy, crazy volume. Same way with natural gas. They're moving, I think, 13, 14 billion cubic foot per day. Crazy. Their margins are really healthy. Their EBITDA is really healthy. They're sitting on a lot of cash. Good, strong performance by EPP.
All right, solid. So so let's talk about Antero then.
So Antero is a very interesting little company. And once again, they actually done pretty well. They had a good quarter from a financial point of view. They had record production. They're at, I think, 1.5 billion cubic foot per day increase and did about 40,000 barrels of liquids a day. And that's, I think, a 17% increase from the last quarter of 2014 and probably about a 30% increase for their liquids. They're heavily invested in Utica. They're just doing really well. Now, these low gas prices and the natural gas, the NGL prices, help lower some of their margins. But they did is they actually increase their volume, so their total sales are about what they need it to be. So it's they're doing well. They're it's a strong little company, and they have good leadership over there, and they're doing all the right things.
And so I believe I've discovered another acronym I didn't know. I should say NGL, natural gas liquefied. Natural gas liquids. All right, folks. We're just making things up on the show.
Yeah, that is it's a gas when it's in the ground, but when it comes up to the surface, you bring it up to the surface and there's less pressure, it converts to liquid. And according to the law right now, the federal law, those are count as refined products, so we can actually export them. We cannot export crude oil. So this is a way for the oil and gas companies to export and make some money, is they actually export the NGLs.
Got it. Well, that is the extent of our Q1 roundup. I'm sure there's at least 100 more companies we could look over, but instead we'll just touch on Johnson & Johnson's decision to introduce nothing but tear shampoo to toughen up newborns.
Yeah, you know, our newborns are just too soft in this country. We need a way for them to kind of man up and actually step up. And then Johnson & Johnson's doing a good job with this, right? Nothing but tears. No matter where you put it on your baby's face, it'll make him cry.
Exactly. And that's from The Onion, folks, so we're joking. Yeah. But we got that link in the show notes. Let's talk about OTC, Mark, because OTC is imminent. It's coming right up. It's next week.
Yeah, OTC is next week. You and I will both be crazy busy. We'll be all over the place. If you're in oil and gas, you better be at OTC. And if you're there, you ought to hit either James or I up on Twitter. And if we could connect, we'd love to connect with you.
Yeah, what's your Twitter, Mark?
So mine's Mark_LaCour.
Right. James. Yeah, it's at James Hahn II James Hahn II. And I'm at James Hahn II across the interwebs. And we still have 2 tickets to give away, Mark.
Yep, and let me tell you about these tickets. It's a tradition in OTC that National Oilwell Varco does a shrimp boil. You cannot buy access to this event. You will not get in no matter what unless you have a ticket. And we have 2 to give away.
All right, yeah. And the 2 that we have to give away, all you have to do is go to triberocket.com/iTunes. And that will bring you to our show in iTunes. And you leave a review, and then you send me an email. So if you left, I've actually heard from, I want to say, 3 or 4 people of the 8 that have left the review. And so if you're out there and you haven't emailed me yet, please email me, james@triberocket.com, so that we can get you your ticket. And if you want to be one of the final 2 people out of the thousands of people that are listening to this right now, and I have to shamelessly self-promote. I love this last one that we got from College Band Fan.
What did College Band Fan say?
I hate waiting for Bloomberg to finally get around to talking about the oil sector just for it to be 90% fluff. Now I don't have to. Very good podcast. Thank you. So take that, Bloomberg.
Yep. We're on your tail. We're chasing you down.
We're chasing you down. Your $8 billion ain't got nothing on our podcast.
$13.27.
Exactly. The huge revenue that's streaming in off of this. But no, we're having a great time. And go to triberocket.com/iTunes and leave your review. Send me that email at james@triberocket.com. And then we'll be partying with you, eating shrimp and boiled potatoes. Right, Mark?
Absolutely. With some of the biggest business leaders in the oil and gas world.
Absolutely. I cannot wait. It's going to be a great time. So in the meantime, anything else, Mark?
Nope. Do great work. Pay it forward. And we will see you next time.
Go find some grease, guys. This is ridiculous. Huggies launches TP, a Twitter-based sensor for diaper changing.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Do you want
the hell having your babies tweet you when they have a dirty diaper? That's nuts. I'm never touching Twitter again.